So our gospel today comes from Matthew chapter 11. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The word of the Lord. So, question, have you ever heard this before? Are we there yet? Yeah, my brother and I used to say that all the time. When we would travel from Nebraska to Iowa to see different family, we would always be yelling that at our parents. I'm pretty sure that that's a frequent question that children have when they go on long trips and they're tired and they're bored and they're stuck in a car or a plane. Or maybe the child's been napping and they wake up and they're asking, "Are we there yet? Is this really where we were going?" I think that's kind of what John is asking in our gospel today. The scene is John the Baptist, who we met last week, who is proclaiming, "Prepare the way of the Lord. There's one coming who is greater than me." And now this week, we see that John has been arrested and placed in prison, presumably for proclaiming Jesus. So I imagine this dark cell where John is pacing back and forth in chains, literally, and personally and internally. And so he's allowed one visitor, so one of his followers come, and he sends a simple message. One question: are you the one? Maybe to settle any doubts and wonder. Maybe it's to answer the question for John, has this really been worth it to be in prison? I think that's kind of a very human nature kind of question to ask. How many of us may have asked that in our lifetime? Is what I've been doing all of my life been worth it? Has it been valuable? Am I making a difference? John's not sure if what he predicted and has longed for has arrived. When he proclaimed the one to come, he expected a change now. And so a few months or years later, it's still the same. John saw Jesus as a climax and summation of God's promises to Israel, and he was disappointed, maybe. He wanted a king, and God gave him a baby. So what is it that we're looking for? What is it that we expect? What do we expect of the Messiah? Maybe we expect the Messiah to change my situation, to change the people around me, maybe, to what I want. Maybe when I pray, I want something magical to happen, and if it doesn't, I pray for something different to happen. I want someone to come and make my life better the way I want it. When will it get better? Whatever that it may be, whatever may seem fulfilling. What is it that we're looking for? What is it that we expect? It's a question I've been asking of people this week, and the answers are all over the place, especially around this holiday season as they're preparing. One of my neighbors said I wanted my outside decorations to be the best on the block. And I said, you're the only one decorated on our block. That was my favorite conversation. Some people are expecting that their family will gather and there will be no arguments. Well, that's not my family. Some people expect that all of their family will be able to come to their family gathering. Some people want their house to be decorated just right and their table to look just right, because then Christmas will be wonderful. What is it that we are expecting and hoping for? And how often is it that we are disappointed? I think Jesus' answer back to John might be yet another disappointment for John. Jesus did not criticize him, did not even really give comfort to John. He, I think, literally challenged him by saying, this is the mission. He says, the blind will receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news will be preached to the poor. All of that Old Testament language, all of it to say what it looks like when the God of Israel gets involved and intervenes in the human life. Isaiah casts a vision. He said, the wilderness will be glad, the desert will rejoice because water will come from the desert, the blind will see, there will be a highway that you can't get lost on, thank goodness. The lame will leap like a deer, all of these images of joy, all unexpected for the people in Israel's time. I wonder if that's what the words of that great hymn, Joy to the World, actually mean. When it says that, what does it say? Heaven and nature will sing. It says that fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains will repeat that sounding joy. That image, that hope, that joy as a response and feeling to when God is active in this way in the world. And here we have John, where Jesus' answer is his mission. Probably not exactly what John expected. Likely not what he was looking for. Not probably what we are looking for in a Messiah either. If we were going to be honest, we might say that we are looking for a Messiah for strong people. A Messiah who helps those who help themselves. A Messiah who knows how to stand up for himself. A Messiah that we can be proud of. Instead, we get Jesus, who falls quite short of that particular criteria. Jesus comes along and he is preoccupied with the lame, the deaf, the poor, the ill, the dead. I mean, let's face it, for heaven's sakes, these are not movers and shakers in the world. And yet, Jesus fusses over these folks. It's not what we expected. Doesn't fit that criteria of a king. And yet, if you are one of those folks, it does fit your criteria. When you come to a place of that pure trust in God, we come to that place of joy. Last night I got to be in a location that I had never expected to be and ended up with some folks from the MD Anderson Cancer Center. Some of those doctors and office folks were talking about this question, because of course I'm there and that's what I do. I ask questions of people, not telling them they're going to be in the sermon tomorrow. But I asked the question, and I'm asking, what are you looking for and what are you expecting? And some of the folks were answering, I want my table to be beautiful. I want my wife to be happy and not have to cook for Christmas. All of those kind of answers. And there was one gentleman that kind of sat in the back and didn't answer a whole lot, was just kind of listening to what everyone was saying. And finally, when he did speak, he said, you know, I'm looking for something different. And I said, well, what is that you're looking for? And he said, well, I want what these cancer patients have. He said, really? What is that? And he went on to talk about how most of the patients that come through come living in a moment. They want moments in their lives of reconciliation. Moments where they can dream a dream. Moments where they write blessings to those people in their lives that mean the most to them. Moments where they take the time to teach people what it means to treat others with love and kindness. Moments where they can enjoy this joy to the world that is all around them. He said, that's what I'm looking for. Is that what we get at Christmas? It was a great conversation. To talk about who is this Messiah that we're expecting and looking for. When do we find this Messiah in our most vulnerable of places? I mean, imagine John in this dark prison cell pacing back and forth and receiving this answer. This is John who, despite his earlier fame and charismatic personality, despite his faith and the followers, he discovers and finds himself with all those in need of God's mercy and grace. He finds himself admitting his need and his identity to depend on God, knowing that Jesus, our God, is with us and for us in every moment. Even when we are feeling stuck and in our own prison or disappointed with whatever may be happening around us, God comes anyway. God is never disappointed with us or in us. He's eager to join us in our weaknesses, to hold us in our securities, insecurities, and comfort us in our fears. This is what matters. Realizing, above all else, that even if it doesn't fit out in the world, it fits with God. We fit with God. This is the joy to the world that we know. This is the joy to the world that we live. This Advent, this Christmas, and every day. So we're going to sing it and proclaim it together. If you know the words, I need a note, Pastor Gary. He rules the world. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. And wonders of his love and wonders.